Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host Mark Packham, joined this evening by Matt Knight.
Hello.
And Jay Cross.
Hello.
As we are going to do going forward, we're streaming this live on ampli.fi/guitar nerds. Thanks for joining us if you are just one of the regular podcast listeners. But also thanks for joining us if you're watching this live. ampli.fi/guitar nerds is where you can find this Tuesday nights. Every Tuesday night at 8:30 from now on. How's it going, everyone?
Good, thanks.
How's things?
Yeah, all right. I've had no guitar stuff. I've had considerably less guitar stuff this weekend.
Okay.
I've lent it all to a friend's band who are doing recording. So they've got pretty much all of my amps and some of my guitars as well.
What sort of record are they making where they need your ridiculous setup?
Well, they've actually, to be fair, he has got a Kemper, so I think he's probably just profiling it all and
okay,
playing it.
That makes sense, yeah. So he's basically, all the amps that you put a load of money into, he's now stealing them.
That's what mates do.
Yeah, they lend their amps.
Yeah.
And they steal them. So, which band is it? What are they recording? And what of your stuff have they got?
They're a band called, Pandora Fox is their name. They're kind of like, I suppose it's just like a rock. I don't really know how to describe it. Kind of like sort of rock. I mean, the guy's like an amazing singer. I think that's like kind of one of the best things about it. He's like an amazing guitar player as well, like a three piece.
Okay.
But they're actually building their own studios, which they record from, called Fort Badger Studios.
Okay.
In Redhill.
That's a great studio name.
Yeah. But they've been building it up from scratch. So they've been buying loads of stuff, like really good high end stuff. Proper good recording setup, and whenever they get the chance, they obviously profile everything with the Kemper. But they've got loads of really good high-end mics, and whenever they go to the studio, use all the mics there. So a lot of the profiles they're using, they're miking up like four or five mics onto one amp.
Cool.
Because obviously the Kemper captures one direct in, but if you put several mics into one mixer and then feed that mix out into the Kemper,
gotcha,
and then turn it up really loud, it obviously captures the amp at kind of its best.
Yeah,
because that's the only thing about the Kemper is obviously it's got tone controls, but if you move the tone controls anywhere, you're adding digital bass, middle, treble, or gain.
Yes, because it's working from a bass sound.
Yeah, so it's physically captured a sound, and that's the sound it works from. So the only thing that's different is the output volume, which is the physical power out.
Yes.
So anything else that you change, you're digitally changing it, so it's not real. But the actual snapshot, if you left everything as is and just controlled the volume, it's like a like-for-like representation, I suppose.
Definitely.
So yeah, they're doing that, and they're kind of running sort of multi-amps, and I think it's good for them because they run their own studio, but they wanted to record somewhere else. I think they're using it as like a good experiment for kind of using a load of different gear that they wouldn't necessarily get a chance to use, and kind of they take all the stems and then they go and like mix it and master it and reamp it and things like that as well, which is quite
right.
Cool.
So. Cool. So basically they are using your hard work and your gear collection to further their own means.
Well, I mean, someone's got to use it outside of my flat, I suppose.
No, definitely not. That's what your gear is for, right? Just using it at home.
Yeah, just using it at home. I'm the bedroom warrior.
I really feel like this is... Because, mate, there was a period of time where you were desperately trying to put together the ungiggable rig, and I kind of feel like this is... You know, well, this kind of goes against everything that you stood for.
Yeah, I know. Now it's been sort of gigged. Actually, funny enough, the guy in this band, he usually gigs an orange Rockover 50, and it broke down. He was like, oh, I don't know what to do. And another guy that I work with was like, oh, just take my Micro Dark. And he's like, oh, I don't know if it'll be powerful enough. And he said, afterwards, every member of all the other bands was like, oh, your sound was just amazing. It was a Micro Dark going straight into a PA.
It's all about the £99 Micro Dark. I think that's the way to go.
Yeah,
definitely.
That's pretty nuts.
Worth mentioning tonight, by the way, we didn't mention at the start of the show, if you are watching on ampli.5/guitar nerds, you can interact with us. There's chat on the side there. Leave us any questions or comments or anything about the show this evening. Do get involved. We've got a bunch of questions from the Facebook group, but we are also taking them live to the stream, and we'll answer anything we can on the fly. Send us anything, basically. It's all good. We can talk about anything tonight. So Matt, anything else this week? What else have you been up to? Apart from not having any gear, have you played anything at work or anything like that that's kind of caught your eye?
Yeah, so I've mentioned it on the Facebook group, and I posted up a picture today, so Tuesday, about an 88 pre-factory PRS that we've got in.
Yes,
and
I saw that.
I mean, I'm not the world's biggest sort of PRS fan, but this one is actually particularly nice. So this one's like pre-factory, so before they kind of went to the main Maryland factory and then obviously started more mass-producing instruments.
Yep.
So this is instrument number... I think something like 4,070.
Okay. So what was
So you think how many PRS they've built now?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, to think that's the 4,000th instrument they've built.
Yep.
So it's 88 Brazilian rosewood board, you know, pretty much hand built by a factory of probably like less than 20 people. I think it was a pretty small factory at that point. Everything's like hand signed and numbered in between, like underneath the pickups.
Really?
Yes. Okay. It's proper. It's like really early, and they're one of the few, I'd say, modern guitars that are really starting to kind of appreciate in value. So if you kind of get 88, this is a non-custom, but if you bought like an earlier 87, 86 customs are going for about $7,000 or $8,000 now.
That's crazy.
PRS are a bit of a weird one because you kind of associate them with, you know, you buy them, they're an expensive guitar, but they tend not to really hold their value. And that's why, you know, if we're talking to people about them, we kind of advise, like, definitely make the right choice, because if you're thinking of getting something to try out and then sell it on for about the same money later on down the line, that's probably not going to happen. It's more that... you keep it basically.
Yeah.
It's interesting that really old ones are starting to kind of pick up a little bit.
Yeah, I think they're just becoming a collectible thing. I think because they're more hands-on in terms of their build as well. So I think the earliest ones are probably like late 85.
Yeah.
86.
Mm-hmm.
And I did see there's a guy in America. I think he runs Eddie Vegas Guitars. Have you heard of them? They do some really weird, like, vintage.
I've not.
Guitars. And he's got an 86 PRS 24 in magenta pearl, which is basically purple sparkle.
Right.
And that instrument, like, 1,050. So it's like really early on in the factory run, and it's like $8,000. I was like, if I had $8,000, I would seriously consider buying that.
I am not a huge PRS fan, I must admit, but a purple sparkle. What's it actually called? Something magenta?
It's magenta pearl, yeah.
Oh, that sounds awesome. Yeah.
I know. A colour that you... I think the closest thing you get, because I was actually speaking to the rep, I was like, oh, have you got anything in pink? Do PRS do anything in pink? And they actually do a colour called Bonnie Pink.
Right.
Or something like that. And they had he had a Archtop 22, so the hollow body 22 in pink, in his like car stock for shop sale. And I was like,
get it.
Just because it's pink.
Get it. Yeah. Just any pink guitars, basically.
Any pink guitars, send them my way.
The way forward. Anything else this week?
Anything else? Oh, I got my unguitar related. I got a Roland System 1M. So.
Oh, did you?
Going modular.
Oh, very cool.
So the System 1 is... The System 1 originally was the keyboard that had the kind of modelling...
With the IRA keyboard. So it had the ACB, or analog circuit behaviour,
yes,
modelling in it.
So it was basically modelling individual circuit components through digital. Is that correct?
Yeah, so it wasn't necessarily a modelling other synths. It was a synth in its own right, but modelling how analog circuitry works, and that's the whole thing behind the whole range of IRA products, the drum machine and everything.
Yeah.
But it has the plug out software, so you can download what they call the plug out, and it turns it into another synthesizer. But what's cool about it is the plug outs actually disengage some controls on the front panel. So if that synthesizer didn't originally have that control,
so if there was,
they disengage that control from the front panel.
So if it was like a two oscillator synth and there's three oscillator controls on the front, the third one doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Okay. That's a cool thing. So what's the modular version?
So basically, the modular version is no keyboard.
Okay.
So it's got MIDI in, so you can trigger notes from a MIDI keyboard or a sequencer, but it's got loads of CV ins and outs, so you can hook it up to other modular gear, or you can basically, you know, send the LFO straight into the gate, and you can basically to get it to play itself effectively.
Yep.
So you can send a signal through itself, so kind of like you see people messing around with huge modular synths, and that's what you're doing. You're getting to trigger a sound from inside the oscillator and then just messing around with that.
So
what's cool is obviously you see huge modular synths, people with loads of leads plugging things in and out, and you're like, where'd I plug it all in? The System 1 actually remembers what leads were plugged in. So if you save a patch with loads of leads plugged in, it remembers which leads were plugged in where. So if you unplugged everything and I went, oh no, I really want to go back to that sound, the patches remember where all the leads were plugged in.
But then what, does it have some indicator to tell you to plug them back in there?
So each of the CV ins and outs have a little light around them.
Okay.
And when you save the patch, those lights then remain lit up. So if you pull any of the wires out, you know exactly where to put them back in.
Okay. Interesting.
So it's a pretty clever bit of kit. And one of the new plug outs is the System 100. So it's like one of the old synths they used to do, the original modular synth.
Yeah.
And you can basically model that. So that's a cool bit of kit. I'm going to try and work out how I can run a guitar through it, basically.
Always.
It's got like a mix in. It's got a like an envelope in. So in theory, you could plug a guitar through it.
Okay, so you would use the guitar velocity to trigger the synth patches, essentially.
I think you could do that. I mean, what you could do is there's a great product by a company called Sonus called the G2M, which is basically guitar to MIDI.
Yes.
And it does guitar in, direct to monophonic MIDI out.
Sure.
So if you play like notes into Sibelius or something like that, it'll tab it out for you. But it also means you can go guitar straight into a monophonic synth and you can trigger notes from synth. So in theory, yes, you could plug a guitar straight in.
Cool.
And they're like £50. And it's just this tiny little box
that's
completely passive. So I might actually just buy one and just see what happens.
It's completely passive. Is it not?
I think it's passive. Or it might, because there's definitely no... I'm sure there was no 9-volt in it. Maybe there is. Maybe it runs on battery.
Yeah. Yeah. Surely it would have to do that type of kind of conversion that it's doing.
Yeah, potentially. I don't know. Unfortunately, I'm not that technical.
No.
But, yeah.
No.
That's a cool product, though. That's a good way for your guitar to interface with like MIDI stuff monophonically without the need for a special pickup.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you... So, Matt, this is actually pretty interesting. I don't mean to steal your thunder and jump in.
No, please do.
I'm going to do it. I'm actually really interested in this because I... if you want to know what I did that was guitar-related this week...
Is it nothing?
No, it's not... Well, not completely. But what I did do was I had a friend staying over and... for a couple of nights, and he at one point he did say like, "Oh, what have you bought anything cool recently?" And I got down one of the Roland Boutique synths, which I've not really used very much, and I just like I couldn't like get it to work hugely. Like I couldn't really get it to sound good, and I couldn't get a huge amount of sound out of it. So maybe you should bring. Can you bring your System 1 down? Because Matt's going to be with us this weekend, I should add. We're going to be doing some videos and stuff. So
we are.
Do you reckon maybe you could bring it down, or is it another thing?
No,
that you
I
need
could
to bring
it down.
Down.
It's quite small.
I think you should bring it down, and we can maybe plug it into my boutiques.
I'm actually debating what guitar to bring down.
Okay.
Because the other thing that I did this week, although I haven't actually got it yet, is in my quest for the Esquire that I used to have, I bought one of those Seymour Duncan Billy Gibbons pickups.
Okay.
And because my custom shop telly, that the Red Spark one I've got now, is basically exactly the same spec in terms of neck and body, I thought, well, I'm just going to fit that pickup to it.
Nice.
So back to the Esquire, because you only need one pickup.
Could you possibly bring two guitars? Because some pedals obviously suit a Les Paul and some suit a Tele.
Well, that's the thing. I think I might just have to try and... Really, I should buy one of those mono dual gig bags.
You need a double gig bag.
Well, 200 quid for a double gig bag is...
After a few weeks of hassle and grief from... the present company,
yeah.
I actually did put my Tele and Les Paul in for a setup, so I should have those back.
Oh, cool.
By this weekend,
so we could maybe use your Les Paul, and if Matt, yeah, you bring down a Tele, that's a pretty good selection for doing some videos, I think.
Yeah,
cool, that sounds good. And if you
did you drop it in with the usual, did you drop it in with Graham?
No, Graham was away. So
there we go. That's a shame. Jay Cross, before we move on really to what you've been doing this week,
yes,
is there anything going on in the chat?
You're
hanging out in the chat while we record this.
I am. Well, I'm doing my best.
Yeah.
Doing my best to do both of these things.
You need to get a little iPad keyboard.
Yeah, I was thinking that, because that is one of the issues when you try and chat.
Yep.
It does bring up the keyboard which blocks out most of the screen
of the chat.
Yes,
so you can't see what you're responding to.
No, not completely. But yeah, yes, we've got a few people joining us in the chat room there. We did have Czech Chap came in and said that Czech Chap had to go because he had to go and buy a Magnum from the All Night Garage for his wife. Which I mean, I think is completely fair enough.
Yep.
Everybody needs ice cream.
Cornetto. Every time.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Okay. We do actually have a question already.
Cool. Let's do that, and then we'll talk about what you've been up to.
Matt Mork says, I want to buy a smallish portable combo amp. I need a pedal platform as my gain is usually on the floor. Do I just buy Blues Junior or maybe the Bass Breaker 15? I'd love a Morgan PR12, but they are significantly more expensive.
Pedal platform. Did he say a budget?
No budget has been given, but presumably... If we're listing the price, if we're listing Blues Junior and Bass Breaker, they're both what? Bass Breaker 15 is what? Also 15? About
somewhere between 400 and 500.
Yeah, 400 to 500 quid. And then what's a Morgan PR12 going for?
1599.
Yeah.
So considerably
so
more.
So about 400 to 500 quid. What are we saying? So he said Blues Junior. Did he say he's ruled out Blues Junior?
No. Do I just buy a Blues Junior or maybe a Bass Breaker 15? I mean, I've not had a chance to plug in any of the Bass Breakers yet, Matty. What are we saying on those?
They are good. They're definitely not as clean.
Yeah.
As the other one, but I know my boss did some videos on the 15 and said it was just like one of the best amps he's ever plugged in. And I mean, you know, everyone kind of, the default is Blues Junior, you know, that's what most people go to because it kind of hits a price point. I think that's always a difficult thing. Like coming from a guitar point of view, I should probably say that most people go, I want a valve amp that's like 15 to 20 watts for like 500 to 600 or like 400 to 500 pounds.
Yep.
And there basically isn't anything apart from the Blues Junior.
Yeah.
I think the other one that's out on the market now, which is fantastic, but not valve driven, but I think it still sounds great, is the Blues Cube Hot.
Yeah, definitely.
Because you've got the headphone out, which is a massive plus, especially if you're playing at home. And recording out via USB, which is fantastic. And some of the Ignators now, which are kind of, they do one called the Tweaker, which I think is around the same sort of money. Yeah, they do a 15 watt one called the Tweaker, which is 429, and that's basically a little bit more Marshally, but you've got different preamp styles and different power amp styles.
Really?
So if you kind of want to tweak your sound quite a lot, that's quite a good option. If you're just using like one pedal and you want the amp to do everything else, that's also a really good option. But Blues Junior, especially for the clean side of things,
yeah, that was a follow up question here from Matt saying, "How's the headroom on the Bass Breaker clean channel?" You know,
because
that's the thing. Like you say, when you've got a benchmark like the Blues Junior, like it does give you that sound so perfectly that
Yeah.
You know, everyone else is kind of playing catch up or trying to do something different because they can't play catch up. And I think that's kind of what the Blues Breaker is doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, something like the PR12 as well is it's not trying to just be a Blues Junior competitor because there's no point, you know.
You can't beat the Blues Junior.
Well, yeah.
I think really the closest thing in terms of sound, almost apart from maybe a little bit of clean, is the Blues Cube.
Yeah.
Whereas it's kind of one of the closest things. Definitely. But I mean, you know, if you could spend more, you're into then sort of like Fender Princeton money, really, after that. And I suppose after £1,000, you're kind of like, there's a whole world of different things you can
go anywhere.
For.
Yeah, definitely. So, Jay Cross, I hope that answers the question. Keep them coming in on the chat. We need as many of those as possible. Jay Cross, what have you been up to this week?
Well, I wasn't here last week, was I?
You weren't. So you got 2 weeks worth of stuff.
So, I couldn't make it last week because I went to London to see this band Royal Headache.
Yeah.
Who are a garage punk band from Australia, who I absolutely love. I think the Australian punk scene at the moment is like they're just churning out so many good bands over the last few years, and yeah, Royal Headache, really, really up there. And it was at the Tufnell Park Dome, which is somewhere that I have been to once before, and the sound was pretty good. Royal Headache, I was a little bit disappointed because I love Royal Headache, and maybe, you know, it's always difficult when you are watching a band that you really, really love and it isn't quite what you want it to be. But they, you know, it's a pretty simple setup. They're just a garage band. The guitar player was playing a Rickenbacker 300 series into an AC30 or something.
Nice.
And the bass player was just playing a jazz bass into just an Ampeg 810. And yeah, like it was really weird. What it really sounded like to me was, you know, when like the band has obviously shown up late and they've not really had time for a sound check.
Yeah.
And I think the opening act was just like a solo electric guitar vocals. Okay. I didn't watch them. We were in the pub, but
good choice.
It's, you know, you can tell when the sound engineers haven't had a huge amount of time to make it sound good.
Yeah,
that was kind of the impression that I got. I did find it quite interesting though, because we stood right at, it was quite an interesting exercise in sort of sound, the way that the sound travels in a room. So like we were at the front, the bass was clipping a bit, but you know, we were stood near the front and all we could hear was the bass.
Right.
As soon as we moved to the back of the room, like that's when that sort of Rickenbacker AC30 just like it just opened up, like it couldn't penetrate the front part of the room, but when you like move back, and I just thought that was quite an interesting experience to see that in, you know, to feel that actually happen. That's I guess the main thing that I did this week. Just had a total, I'm trying to have a continuing my complete clear out of everything so that I can start again.
Restart your guitar collection.
That's
basically.
It. Yes. Yeah. So I tell you what, actually, one for you, Matt. I had a phone call from the shop which shall remain anonymous that I have ordered my offset telly from.
Yep.
They just give me a quick call and just like, yeah, just wanted to let you know it's been delayed a little bit. Really sorry. But it was like he was really the chap who called me was really apologetic, really lovely, great service, great. Like,
was it Matt Knight?
It wasn't Matt Knight, actually.
I am far too important.
But
when was the last time you picked up a phone, Matt?
Today, actually.
Yeah, right. I don't believe you.
I sold someone a Moore Funky Monkey.
I don't believe you.
And they actually said they were very pleased with the service, and I went, oh, thanks very much.
Oh, that's cool. That's nice.
The other thing I was going to quickly mention, I don't know if you guys saw it on Facebook. Did you see the Analog Outfitters vibrato and reverb unit?
No.
Made out of old Hammond. So it's basically a company called Analog Outfitters in America who basically buy old Hammond units, repurpose the vibrato and reverb into new head into new heads for guitar effects. And they are clear construction, so you can see the vibrato and the reverb working inside.
I listened to a podcast with this fella. I think it was Tone Mob, maybe, spoke to him.
Yeah.
That's just clicked, yeah. That's, yeah, he was talking about them, actually, and it sounds super cool. And
his, I mean,
part of his job is basically finding old Hammonds. That's, like, I mean, the biggest part.
They sound... It's called the Scanner, and it sounds so good. So good.
Cool.
They're $1,900, but, I mean, it's like a wooden... Like, it looks like a normal guitar head, but it's wooden end cheeks, clear plastic top, back, and sides.
Yeah.
And then you can actually see the vibrato mechanism working on the inside.
Really? That's crazy.
It looks so good. And it's expression pedal controlled, so you can control the speed with an expression pedal. I was like, I want that. But you can't buy it. You can't buy them anywhere in the UK at the moment. So.
Right. have you got some more stuff from the chat, Jay? Is that what you...
No. Okay. Keep on going. There's a few more people have joined us in here. So yeah,
what I was going to say, a couple things before we move on. If you're watching on Amplify Live, there is now a facility to leave us a little tip. So if you like what you're seeing, you can drop us a little $1 tip. And that will help
just
Jay
to see if it works.
Buy some more red wine or, you know... help us mainly if you're leaving us tips. We're going to do some stuff with this set and make it look a little bit nicer. This
what corner, are you trying to say about my house?
Corner of Jay's living room.
My girlfriend sat right there and she just stared daggers down at you there.
We're going to just tart it up a little bit. So
wait, who are you talking about?
The room.
Oh, okay, right.
So yeah, anything that you leave us there was helpful. Also, Jay, you brought along some old Total Guitar magazines to look through. What I was thinking is, how about we leave that for the Patreon episode?
Okay.
And so on this week's Patreon, we are going to talk about three Total Guitar magazines from 2003 and 2004.
Yeah, I found these back at my... I was back at my parents' house this week, this weekend. Again, trying to want to like just continually try and declutter everything. I found my sister's old saxophone.
Oh, nice. Tempted to bring it home?
No.
Okay.
No. But if anyone wants to buy a saxophone, someone just donated $1. How about that? Thanks, Ed Go Electro Shop. What a great start to the evening.
What's the front cover in the middle on that one, Jay?
I tell you what, actually, it's really cool. It is.
I'm trying to remember if I actually had one of them.
It's Brody Armstrong. Brody Dahl.
I had that
now.
Episode. I did have that. I had that episode.
That edition.
I had that edition.
Yeah.
That one. I remember that one.
Brody from the Distillers.
Yeah.
I totally forgot on the cover of that.
Yeah.
So wasn't she married to the guy from Queens of the Stone Age? Or is she married?
Yeah, and the fella from Rancid.
Yeah, she was married to...
We're going to talk about those later on in the Patreon episode, patreon.com/guitar nerds. You can hear that there. And we'll talk about that a bit later on. I wanted to talk about what I've been doing this week.
Oh, okay.
We got a delivery of... we've had a few deliveries actually this week. But primarily, the one that's most exciting to me is the two-note LeClean guitar preamp. Now... For our demo videos, we've been doing a lot of stuff where we use Two Note, who are the manufacturer, Two Note's speaker simulator with some preamps. But we've been finding that the results kind of vary. It depends on what pedal you're using. So Two Note actually produce a really nice valve-driven guitar preamp called the LeClean, part of the Le series. There's Clean, Crunch, and Drive, is it, Matt?
Clean, Crunch, Bass, and yeah, I think there's a Drive as well.
Okay,
I think there's four, isn't there?
Don't tell Joe Branton there's a bass one because he will want to buy one. And
the bass one's really, really good.
Yeah,
like a valve-driven Sans Amp.
I was actually reading some stuff about it, and yeah, apparently it's really nice. But so last night I sat down and did a bit of kind of playing around with the LeClean running into the Torpedo Cab, which is the speaker simulator. So these are both hardware boxes. Obviously, you know, speaker simulators and guitar preamp modeling and stuff, you can do in-amp or you can do it on a computer using software. Two Note makes some external boxes that are kind of designed for your pedal board. And it was just really nice. Really, really nice to have that flexibility and loads of controls. So the LeClean has two channels, a clean and a real clean one that's really Fendery. And a kind of drive one, but you can also have them kind of cascaded into each other, so you can have them both on at the same time. And the different controls, obviously, you know, the, you feed the clean channel into the drive channel. But I was getting some great results, really nice. And what it means is you can have that Fendery front end if you want, so you get that nice bright sparkle and that kind of real zippy, kind of a tacky sound. But then if you run it into like one of the Marshall cabs in the Torpedo cab, you get a really nice mix. And I think when we do these pedal demos at the weekend, they're actually going to sound really good. Like I said, the results, I think, on our previous demos have kind of varied a little bit.
I suppose we can now model... So if you're doing like a kind of Hendrix-y fuzz, we can kind of plug it into like a Marshall, effectively.
Yes.
Something that's kind of, yeah, going to sound a little bit more like...
more authentic. And just,
yeah,
just better in general, I think. I'm really happy with how this LeClean sounds. And the combination of the two is really good. And the other thing is, it's a preamp pedal with an effects loop built in, so we can actually run delays and reverbs and modulations and stuff in the effects loop rather than in the front end. So we can use them more how you would expect
to
run
an actual amp.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, super exciting.
I mean, obviously,
stuff.
You put everything through the front end.
Yeah, I mean,
it's you and me.
I mean, I'd do that probably.
Yeah. It was funny, actually. I saw someone on one of the ES8 groups talking about how they were trying to work out how they could run the LeClean into the effects loop of an amp, but also then try and use the preamp.
Okay.
So kind of try and work out a weird way with like four cable method.
Why would you want to use the LeClean? Oh, I guess
because you'd run that into
the power amp. You wouldn't use it as an in the effects loop. You just go straight into the effects
yeah,
return.
Yeah, so you just go straight into the return and kind of use that as the, because if your amp's got a parallel effects loop, it doesn't necessarily take it out of the circuit, so you can still plug into the return and then use both.
Yeah.
So if you've got a really distorted amp, for example, like a high gain Marshall, you can actually use the clean as your clean sound.
Yep.
And then go into the front end if you want to use the high gain preamp. So I mean, that's a really cool way of doing it, I think.
Definitely. Yeah, I just was really impressed with the tones, and I think, like I said, it's going to improve our demo videos and stuff massively. And I think if you're doing home recording, or because the LeClean itself has got a speaker simulator built in, but I turned it off obviously because I was using the Torpedo cab, which is the better and more varied speaker simulator. But the LeClean, apparently the speaker simulation is really good. So if you, for example, want something that can sit on your pedal board and you use the preamp facility, but let's say your amp goes down, you can use the speaker out from that. You could still rewire to have effects in the front end and in the effects loop.
Oh, right, well.
And then you could go straight into a PA speaker mixer. So it's like a really good utility pedal as well.
How much are they?
They're, what, £220, something like that?
I think so.
I think 219 is the... I'm really usually very sceptical about pedals that have got a valve in it.
Yeah.
But having seen a load of demo stuff and heard what Two Notes say about this, and knowing about their products in general, I kind of feel like if anyone's going to know how to integrate it properly, it's them, because they've done so much work on, you know, modelling and how to create these sounds. It's not just like they've put a valve in and put a light bulb behind
it
up. I was really impressed. Really impressed.
And so there is definitely four in the range: LeClean, LeCrunch, LeLead, LeBass.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I mean, it is a bit weird to separate them out like that, but I guess to get the range of clean tones, you wouldn't want that bundled in with all the crunch sounds and all the drive sounds. And to be honest, you can get quite a good crunch sound off the LeClean if you bring in both those channels and just drive them quite hard, but keep the volume usable. You get a really decent crunch sound. So, yeah, very, very impressive. The other thing that I tried this week, people may have seen on Instagram, I put up some pictures of the Klisonic Lucid, which is a fuzz pedal, I believe made in Germany, which is a really weird fuzz. Two knobs on it, I think it's volume and dynamics. No, volume and harmonics. The further around you go, the more kind of broken it sounds. You know, on like
Zvex pedals
the voltage, when you control the voltage on a pedal. That seems... I haven't read up on it because it only just arrived the other day, so I need to do a bit of reading. But it seems to be controlling
control.
The sag. Yeah, exactly. So all the way around to the left, so down, you get a really thick sounding fuzz, but it's more just like a standard drive kind of sound. But if you turn it all the way to the right hand side, so all the way up, you get that real broken 8-bitty kind of fuzz. And they're not cheap. I don't think they're handmade in Germany. Matt, you might be able to pull this information up if you've got the computer there in front of
what
you.
What was the name of the...
The company is Kleisonic, which is K-L-E-I-S Sonic. Kleisonic? Yeah, Kleisonic? Kleisonic. Kleisonic? Kleisonic.
I don't think the inflection matters too much.
No, not that much. But yeah, it's called the Lucid Fuzz, and they are really cool, really cool. Spoke to the guys there. They're obviously really proud of what they've created and stuff. So, yeah.
175 euros.
Okay, fine. So what does that work out? 150 quid or something?
Yeah, 150 quid. How did you spell it, Matt?
It is spelt... Hold on. It's very weird spelling.
K-L-E-I-S-S-O-N...
Oh,
I
see. Okay,
indeed.
Cool.
So if you want to, podcast listeners, if you're just listening to audio, that gives you an idea of what to go and search. But if you're watching right now and you're in the chat, you can just go and search from there. So yeah, super cool. The Lucid Fuzz. So yeah, spent some time playing that last night, and it was super cool. It's been a while since I just sat down and played guitar. Like, we've been trying to set up this streaming thing and doing a load of stuff with Guitar Nerds and getting loads of pedals like delivered for review and things like that. But actually having time to sit down and play stuff, I don't get that much time at the moment because we're saying...
See, you give
stuff.
Me grief over this.
I know, but you've got no excuse. You don't do any work.
I've got plenty of excuses. I'm very popular.
Indeed. Well, we'll see.
I've got loads of wine to drink. Speaking of the wine, Hive99, thanks very much. Left us a comment saying, here's a tip, buy some more wine.
Oh, there we go. That's
I'll do
nice.
Just that. Thank you so much. That.
If you would like to continue, contribute to Jay's alcoholism.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Please leave us a tip in the live stream right now.
Listen, we're here for
nice.
A good time, not for a long time.
Indeed. Should we move on to some news? There's been quite a lot this week because SummerNAM is approaching.
There's been a lot of news, hasn't there?
Do you want to do the news?
Oh, do I have to do the it's the news.
Okay, is that the jingle when you're here?
Yeah.
It's the news.
It's the news.
Next week is the first Guitar Nerds podcast I'm not here. I'm off.
Is it the first or the second?
It's
I'm
the
sure
first.
There was one other.
It's the first Guitar Nerds one without me here. We did one other, which was when you did a podcast on your own back in the old days.
Which was fun.
Interesting. It was cool. It was like an hour long monologue. That was awesome.
Maybe I should do a one man stage show.
You should.
Matt Knight and his pedals.
Matt
Knight.
Matt, I reckon. World of pedals.
I reckon you should maybe like. You don't really do anything on Mondays. I think you should just sit in front of Amplify all day and just broadcast what you're doing.
I saw Ola England was doing some live. He does like a live weekly Facebook thing now, and he sits on Facebook for probably like 2 or 3 hours.
Wow,
I mean that's all we're
questions.
Doing.
Yeah, that's what we do every week. Basically.
And he's probably getting paid for it.
Well,
we're just doing it for the love, man.
No, he's just doing it on Facebook Live, actually.
Oh, okay.
Can you donate through Facebook Live?
You
I
can't.
Think so.
Oh. You can't. Right. But you could... So maybe that's something to look forward to. Matt Mondays on Amplify. We'll see.
We'll see. Yeah, maybe. I'll be up for that.
Anyway, so the news this week, there's a lot of it, so let's rattle on through. So, big announcement, or a fairly big announcement ahead of Summer NAMM.
Yeah.
Epiphone have announced four new models.
Yeah.
Which they do periodically. I haven't.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know actually, because I think most of the time, because this is like quite a. This to me is, I hope, the direction that the Epiphone start moving in, because what this is like a proper announcement. It's not just a Les Paul special. You can get it in blue now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's
it's not. It's not a signature model, which is the other thing.
It's not a signature model, and also they do a lot of, you know, they'll be like, oh, here's a limited model. You know, these are, by the looks of things, new models that are actually going to be available for, I don't think they're limited. I think they're just going into the catalogue. And it's like quite a well put together little release, I think.
Yeah. So I'm not sure about them not being limited. I think at least one of these, which is the first one, I think, is a limited edition.
Okay.
It literally says in the name.
It does say limited edition.
Says in the name.
Yeah, which is a shame, because this one is probably the coolest of the four.
Yeah, definitely. So first up, the Epiphone limited edition, inspired by 1955 Les Paul Custom outfit. So what this is a Les Paul Custom in ebony with two P90s, which... Is that a 55 guitar, Matt? Would that have been around?
Well, it would have technically had the El Nico pickup in the neck position.
Okay.
But only Seymour Duncan make those now.
Yes, this with the pickup that's got like the little bar shapes across the top.
Yeah,
which is the,
and it's a slightly bigger. Well, no, it's about the same size as a normal P90, but they're expensive. So I can see why it would be an expensive thing to put in there.
Yes.
However, it does have an ebony fretboard.
Does it? Okay, interesting.
It's pretty amazing. Comes with a hard case as well.
Okay.
So hard case, Epiphone, no, USA Soap Bar P90 pickups. So the same ones I'll put in the juniors. Ebony fretboard, solid mahogany body. And that is a cool guitar.
It looks great, doesn't it? So it's regular custom spec. So you've got triple ply binding back and front and on the neck as well. And around the headstock and nice inlays. Yep. It's a very impressive guitar. That was the one out of these new guitars that really stuck with me.
I would be very tempted for one of those myself, actually.
Definitely.
I think that'd be the closest I'd ever get to a custom
to
one.
Or just to a Les Paul Custom in general. They look...
I've always liked the 55, 54. I think they've always been... Awesome
P90s are the way, man. I was playing that at my Les Paul last night, the junior that I've got, and it sounded so good.
Yeah,
just so much bite there, and just loads of kind of clean, but it, you know, it's not thin like a Strat. I think these 55 Les Pauls are going to be nice.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that they'll be limited at least. You know, I mean by that I mean I want to go and play one.
Yes.
I reckon there'll be about, what, 699?
Yeah, 699? Probably something like that, 600-700 quid. I'm not sure there's pricing yet. You might need to have a look at that. But
I think they're due. When are they due? July, I think.
Okay, so there might be pricing. Let us know on that. We'll talk about the next guitar. So inspired by the the rise of James Bay.
Yeah.
Is it? Who apparently the kids tell me is a singer-songwriter.
Which kids?
Just
Reddit /r/guitars.
I don't know. People on forums and stuff.
Right,
I don't really know who James Bay is, but he's from Brighton, right?
Is he?
Yeah, apparently so.
Oh, right. I didn't know that.
Did he go to BIM? He did go to BIM.
He did go to BIM, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's a BIM person.
I don't know anything about him. What I do know about him is I saw a video of him playing like... I think he was maybe playing the England men's football team dinner or something, because I saw a picture with him playing his guitar and then Wayne Rooney standing there really awkward singing into a mic.
Oh,
and
God.
Then there was also a picture of Gary Neville playing a like a hummingbird or something.
Okay.
I kind of got the impression that like maybe James Bay's guitarist was like, you can play.
Just gonna break it.
Wasn't there
a story? I don't remember if we ever mentioned it on Guitar Nerds before about Wayne Rooney and getting an Epiphone.
Careful where you go with this one, mate.
Yeah, he's got powerful lawyers.
Is it an Epiphone? He got like I think his wife bought him like a Gibson 335.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
And got like Liam Gallagher or Noel Gallagher to sign it.
So what he actually did, Colleen, his wife, bought Noel Gallagher's, bought a 355, I think, or a 335, bought one of them off of Noel Gallagher to give to Wayne Rooney as
a gift.
Is
that true?
I believe so.
Wasn't it that she bought one of... I'm sure it was that she bought one of the Union Jack Supernovas.
No, because from what I understand, she bought a guitar off of Noel Gallagher, and before he gave it to her, he had it refinished in Man City blue.
Yeah.
And then gave it to... And then he opened it, and it was like, oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. That is amazing.
I'm pretty sure that's what happened anyway.
I'm into it. Matt, did you find out a price on that 55?
Yeah, they are $799.
Oh, wow. Okay, so they're a bit more expensive than we thought, but still not a bad guitar for that kind of money.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. I think that there's this like new sort of wave of Epiphones that are sort of like a little bit more money, but they're obviously like a much like higher spec than you'd normally get from kind of the basic standard. But a lot of Epiphones are going that way. There's a lot of Epiphones that are kind of real upgrade, and I think it's because... there was too much of a gap between that and the basic.
Well, particularly like next guitar, like the Inspired by James Bay, which is actually called the Inspired.
I don't think it's called the Inspired by James Bay because they haven't wanted to go and get any license rights or stuff. Yeah. But
it's called the Inspired by 1966 Century Archtop, which is the guitar that James Bay is kind of become known for playing. And that's what I was going to say. Epiphone are doing some great stuff in the hollow bodies because the gap between an Epiphone guitar at $400 to $700, and I mean, what's the most low end Gibson hollow body at the moment?
Well, one of the studios at $1,499, I think.
Yeah, 339 studio. Yeah, $1,299, $1,399.
Yeah. So, there's quite a jump there. So,
Crazy money.
Have you had a look at the Inspired by 1966,
Jay? I had a look at the spec. It looks really cool. And the all I saw was the press release from Epiphone.
So it's a slim body, no cutaway, single P90 in the neck. Real kind of cool. It's got that same shape as the what was that? There's a famous Gibson ES model that has that, like a real early one.
125.
Yeah, maybe 125 or 120.
120.
Yeah, 120.
Yeah, yeah.
Has that same body shape.
120, which had two P 120, because they did ES 120, and then there was a 120T.
Yeah.
Or any of them actually had a T prefix, meant they were like a thin body.
Yes.
But they were originally designed. Yeah, they were always designed as like student guitars.
Yeah.
Like the cheap guitar that you would buy to learn on, basically.
Yeah. Which is so funny
because now they go for ridiculous money. Actually, those you can still get for a half decent price. You can get them under $1,000, which is pretty good.
Yes.
Really.
Yeah.
Matty, have you got pricing on this James Bay model or whatever it's called?
I think that is going to be the same price, if not slightly less, I think.
Okay.
Phone. I did have it up and I've lost it. Those ones... I will get back to you on that. I will find out.
Fine.
But so, I think they're about the same sort of price.
Two more models they've announced. The Epiphone Les Paul Special VE electric guitar. Jay, this is bound to become a kind of staple of guitar shops everywhere, isn't it? So this is the Les Paul Special 2, which has always been Epiphone's kind of starter. It's their equivalent of like a Squire Affinity.
Yeah.
And they're finally doing it in some vintage finishes.
Yeah.
So these are kind of like low lacquer... what they call worn finishes.
Yeah.
Did we get a list of the colours? There's like a worn brown. I think there's like a cherry.
Yeah.
There's probably a few others as well. But I think these are good because they're probably going to be cheaper than a regular Les Paul Special 2, I'd imagine. That's how these worn models usually shake out. So a kind of brilliant starter guitar, really.
Yeah, I think so.
We've got friends who have used them in a kind of professional capacity as well, Special 2s.
Yes, yeah, yeah. A friend of ours bought one of those for no money and stuck a JB, I think.
Yes.
A single dunk of JB into it. And it's probably I reckon he's probably played 500 to 1,000 shows with one of these guitars. You know, it's that age-old argument of whether it's worth buying a cheap guitar and doing it up with some cool hardware and some better pickups, or whether it's the case of just, you know, spending that money on a proper, not proper guitar, but like a, you know, going and getting something that you don't have to upgrade. And you know, it's both ways will always work, but yeah, these Les Paul Specials are such a great way to get into guitar because they are proper guitars,
yeah,
that you can just swap the pickouts out, mm-hmm, swap the hardware over. You know, you do tend to find that sometimes the machine heads on those can be a little bit clunky.
That would be,
so I don't think they're Grovers, are they?
No, they're like quite a cheap machine head. Like, that would be my if you wanted to get one of those guitars kind of road ready, that would be the two things. Like, sort out the bridge pickup if you're like us and pretty much only use the bridge pickup, and add some decent machine heads as well, because they're all pretty basic,
yeah,
aren't they? So Matt Knight, did you get a price on that?
Yeah, they're actually much cheaper than I thought they were.
Okay.
They're going to be $449.
Oh, wow. Okay. And how about pricing on the Les Paul Special VE?
I can't find much on the specials. I think they're coming later in the year.
Okay.
But the normal ones are like $189, $199. So I reckon these are just going to be over the £100 mark.
Yeah, so maybe like $149. Maybe they're looking for a guitar to compete with.
If not slightly less. I mean, yep, the US street price is $149.
Okay. Okay. They could be fairly cheap then in that
they
case.
They could be pretty cheap, yeah.
That's cool. Again, a really good way for Epiphone to kind of get younger kids and people who are new to it into it. I think that's cool. So yeah, one last new Epiphone model, the Epiphone Les Paul Traditional Pro 2. Matt, this sounds like a guitar that Gibson did a little while ago, Traditional Pro 2s. And it sounds like Epiphone have kind of got their own spin on it. What's the deal?
Yeah, well, basically, what started off as a Guitar Center exclusive for Gibson in the States, which made its way into Europe in limited numbers and then became like a fully fledged model for a while. And the Epiphone one has the same features. So satin back and sides, gloss top, 15 dB boost, and then Epiphone Alnico Classic humbucker and Pro Bucker. So okay, Classic based on a Classic 57 and Pro Bucker based on a Burst Bucker Pro. Yep. Full active dB boost. So it's a 9-volt battery in the back. Proper Grover machine heads. And they do all of the original colours they did before. So it's like a black, like an iced tea, an ocean blue, which is a really, really nice looking one, a tobacco burst, and a wine red. So great if you want, like I said, there's loads of Epiphones out at the moment are kind of like coil splits and loads of extra switching options, which is great because it gives people so many more options in the Epiphone range, and this is just a kind of another one to add on to that.
The ocean blue looks absolutely phenomenal on those. Yeah. That's the one. Like, I wouldn't usually go for a blue guitar, particularly not a flame top one, but those look so good. Like, really nice.
The flames on those are a lot more subtle because I don't think they're using, like, that's the only thing. When you get guitars or cheaper guitars that have a flame top, sometimes, because it's like a veneer,
yep,
it can look a little bit almost fake because the piece of maple is like so thin,
yeah,
on top. But these ones, because it's like more of a plain top, they look much nicer.
Yeah, definitely. They look super cool. Let's do one more bit of news, and then we'll see if there's any questions in the chat, and if not, mm-hmm, we'll do a couple questions from the Facebook group. So the thing I wanted to talk about was the Empress Reverb. Now, Empress are a company that we've dealt with on a couple of bits. We've got a delay competition actually coming up to win one of the Empress delays, which I haven't decided how we're going to do it yet. Maybe,
well,
YouTube,
actually, someone in the chat group did just actually ask, are you guys ever actually going to give away any of these pedals?
Yeah,
that you
we are
talking about?
We totally are.
So
we
do watch this space. It is going
to
happen.
We haven't got around to shooting a whole new round of videos yet, so I think that's the plan, is to do that. Either maybe we could do it through Amplify.
Maybe we'll do it this weekend
yet,
or something.
So we've been dealing with them. We really like that analog delay that we've got, or the tape delay, I think it's called. And this reverb looks super cool. Matt, have you done much digging into this?
Yeah, it looks amazing. And it was funny actually, because it was only last week we were saying that how nothing has kind of taken away Dryman's kind of lead in the delay area, and in sort of the reverb air with the Big Sky, and you know, Eventides obviously do really well and things like that, and yep, this is kind of a serious contender for that.
Yeah.
Taking all of the same sort of ideas and what makes it popular and kind of going, you know, we're going to take our own sort of version on that. So digital reverb with, I think, 24 different algorithms, 12 and then two, some have multiple variations. Super high quality sound, stereo in, stereo out. What I kind of like about this is one button dedicated for scrolling through presets. So there's only 32 presets rather than 300.
Yeah, that makes, I think a little bit easier to use, a little bit more hands-on.
Yeah, I kind of think, do you necessarily need 300 presets?
I do. I mean, every track I do has at least 275 reverbs, so
yeah,
this
pedal's
just not for me.
I mean, it's one of those things, isn't it? It's like you find yourself with a couple and then that's sort of it, really.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I always certainly found anyway. So yeah, 35 presets which can be easily selected with the with basically the foot switch, and then there's two modes. You can scroll through banks and then use two buttons to go A or B, or you can actually physically scroll one by one. Buffered or true bypass, cab sim, which is something they've obviously kind of, you know, I'm not saying they definitely took the idea, but obviously the Big Sky has a similar thing.
Yeah.
So you can plug it straight into an amp, or you can plug it straight into a desk, so obviously it's great for recording. The thing I do like is that the second output is isolated, so if you run it in stereo you don't need any extra like phasing or an isolation box or
cool.
anything like that. You can run it in stereo, and yeah, there's like external tap tempo, expression, control voltage, so you can hook it up to a modular synth or something like
okay.
that. External input for non-guitar, so you can basically you know, you can plug like other things into it as well, and then they always come in those small boxes that it's I think probably like two-thirds of the size of a Big Sky,
definitely,
because those little tape delays are quite diddy.
Yeah
reverb seems to be the kind of the effect of the moment. And I mean, one of the algorithms is called Beer, which I think is hilarious.
I saw that. That's one of the things that was in the press release. It was like, it's got a beer mode. And I was like, yeah okay, this sounds fine. I'm into this. I don't really
imagine that's reverb with loads of modulation. It probably makes you feel a bit sick.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, I think it'll be good. I mean, I've always thought the Emperor stuff is, you know, super high quality.
Yeah.
And it's difficult because you see so many pedal boards. I mean, I follow so many different like pedal board groups and stuff on Facebook, and everyone's got like
a Blue Sky or a Big
pedals,
Sky.
You know, and I think it's difficult because a lot of other companies are going, well, and I think part of it is just because people buy it because other people have got them.
Yeah.
Oh, completely.
Totally.
And you know, everyone gets swept up in that. And it was sort of like the Line 6 DL4. Everyone had a DL4 because someone else had one. And they were
yeah.
like, oh, I've got to get one. And it's just, so it's nice to see these companies are constantly like, you know, not bowing down to that and sort of constantly trying to push themselves into, you know, what they can do, really.
Are we're being asked in the chat how much
price? Yeah, is the all important question, Matty.
Probably not as much as a Big Sky, I'd imagine.
No, well, they're $449.
So
they're probably going to be about 400. So they're probably about $399. $399, sort of money.
Maybe a little bit less.
Yeah, I don't know if any of the UK dealers are actually listing them yet, because I don't know how many the product is.
They've only just launched. So what I like about this is that combination of some really usable classic reverbs and some more out there ambient stuff, which seems to be, you know, a big thing that people want at the moment. Like, everything's drenched in kind of ambient reverbs. But it's also like being able to get all that from a hands-on interface that offers you loads of control. I just think it ticks all the boxes, really. And like you said, there's all the connectivity stuff, CV, and yeah, kind of everything that you'd want from a high-end do-it-all reverb pedal.
Yeah, I suppose it's, you know, it's definitely, guitar pedal boards are definitely going back down the route of being, I suppose, how we look at rack units now from like 20, 30 years ago. I think in 20, 30 years, we're going to go, can't believe we were using pedal boards like that, when everything comes back round to other, like back round to multi-effects or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I mean, every pedal board I see now is just like, it's a huge culture just to have like one guitar, but have like 100 pedals and like loads of pedal boards, you know, rather than people collecting guitars. I think because pedals are ultimately in a sense more affordable.
Totally.
Like people would quite happily, like every month, spend a couple of hundred quid on a pedal. And you think, oh, people always go, those guitars are too expensive. But if you didn't buy anything for 4 months, which I know is very difficult because I certainly feel that way, you could buy an expensive guitar.
I was going to say, pedals are more affordable unless you buy like multiple really expensive ones every month like you do, Matt, and probably quite a lot of our listeners. So, yeah.
Just bring it back to Empress. One of the things I really like about Empress, and like, I hadn't really realised this too much until they announced the reverb, and I was like, oh, cool. It's just called the reverb.
Yeah, totally.
And one of the things I really like about Empress is the fact that, oh, do you want to get the buffer? Oh, it's called the buffer. Oh, you want to get the compressor? Oh, yeah, it's the Empress compressor. You know, all their pedals are just called the what it is, the multi-drive. Oh, I mean, in fairness, I don't know what the Nebulous is. Oh, the Nebulous is a multi-effects. You've got chorus, vibrato, and flange
on
there.
That makes sense.
But then you've got para EQ, phaser, super delay, tapes. You know, it's all simple stuff.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, they just seem like a real sort of clinical, clean-cut company that are just doing cool stuff in, like, easy, like just they just work.
Yeah, yeah.
They just work. And I know I harp on about it, but, you know, for someone who really doesn't see a whole lot of value in stuff like compressors and buffers, huge amount, the Empress buffer just totally opened my eyes
Definitely.
To what a buffer could do and could be. And, you know, I'm never ever going to defend the fact that it is an incredibly boring such a boring thing to buy.
Yeah.
But, like, they just make such a difference. Like, I really recommend anybody who uses a lot of pedals tries one with their current setup, because it makes such a difference.
Yeah, definitely. We talk about pedals that you can just leave on all the time and just improve your tone. The Make Gooder pedal, the Empress buffer, is like one of the ultimate examples
Absolutely.
Of that. So, should we do some questions? We've done nearly an hour already, but I reckon
Oh, really?
We can do 10 more minutes.
I reckon we can keep going for a bit.
So,
yeah.
We've
got a question from in here, if
okay.
you want to jump in with that.
Well, I was going to say, let's just do one from the Facebook group, facebook.com/guitar nerds. And if anyone.
Actually, we've had a few people in the chat. Just, I think people are joining us through Amplify, which is
cool. Yeah,
people
awesome.
Who didn't know about what it is exactly that we're doing. So if you're a new listener, thanks very much for joining in. This is something that we do every week and have been doing in one sense or another for about 3 years. And we've been mates since before then. And we just sort of did this
too long
in
basically.
Our free time beforehand. So we started recording it. So thanks very much for joining in. There's a question here from you go on there.
I was gonna
say someone did say like, oh, what are the links? So please hold tight, we go through all the links at the end, you'll be able to keep up with where we are.
Totally. So if you've got questions and you're watching live right now, do put them in the chat right now and we'll get around to it. But first off, let's take one quickly from the Facebook group. Robin says, a few years ago I remember there was this range of funky Les Pauls, bright colours, P90s, G Force tuning guitars called the Futura range. I really like them, especially the purple one. But when I asked my local guitar shop if I could try one, there was a 3 months wait. Then they never came. Did anyone get to try one? What happened to them? Were they a limited run or just rubbish? J Cross.
I think I can say, as someone who has no sort of real vested interest in music retail, they weren't very good. They weren't very good guitar.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't like them. I didn't like them at all. They were one of the first guitars that had the what became the G-Force tuning, and at the time was the
Mini
E-Tune.
Yeah.
They had very weird like Firebird machine heads. So if you were holding the guitar face on, the machine heads didn't stick out to the side because they stuck out from behind the guitar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like
they're called banjo tuners.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. So, yeah, they had them. And it looked very odd. And if I remember correctly, did the Futura have... Didn't they have a P90 and a humbucker? Is that what it says in there?
Yes, they had a P90 in the neck, the sidewinder, I believe.
Yeah.
And the a humbucker or something.
Yeah.
Maybe it was the Dirty Fingers?
I think the Dirty Fingers was in the 70s tribute.
One.
Okay.
So, basically...
I was trying to work out which one it was.
The Future Tribute. It was the Future Tribute is what it was.
The Future Tribute had the weird headstock. The Futura had the normal headstock.
Oh, okay, right. So maybe the future tribute took over from the future?
Maybe.
I think.
Yeah.
But
I think it
all gets...
No, I think it was the other way around, because the future tribute was 2013.
Yeah.
And then in 2014, the Futura came out, and that was the 120th anniversary. So it had the 120 logo on the fretboard.
Yeah.
Which put loads of people off. It's hilarious, actually. I think this year is probably the first year that people have... I've not really heard anyone complain about anything that Gibson have done.
They've taken
the first, year, the first year since 2013 where there's been nothing to complain about.
Yeah, they've actually done it right this year. So there was still 2017, they can still mess it up again. So they've got another opportunity.
But yeah, they were kind of weird guitars, but that was kind of the point. You know, you couldn't buy one in a normal finish. They were all in like weird finishes.
Plum insane.
They did like a silver one that was called like Champagne Invicta or something, like something very odd like that.
I mean, if you wanted to try and get one second hand, you could try a Gibson 50s or 60s tribute, and I think it's effectively the same spec.
Right. Okay.
Well,
the knobs are slightly different.
But it's they're not P90 and humbucker, right? They're just...
No, the 50s tribute... This is what I don't get about the new run. The 50s tribute is humbucker. The 60s tribute is P90s. I would have thought it had been the other way around.
Yeah,
yeah, that was always a bit weird, I thought.
But you could try one or the other, or both, to get an idea of the sound. But very, very similar in terms of the actual neck feel and obviously how the body feels in terms of a Saturn.
Yeah.
Finish.
Yeah. Shall we take a question from the Amplify chat?
Yes. Czech chap is back.
Okay,
after,
cool.
Hopefully bringing a Magnum from the garage
for his
wife. So hopefully that went all well.
A callback to right at the start of the episode.
Yes, okay. Absolutely. So Czech chap says, to gouge or not to gouge, does it hurt the value of my Strat if I dig out some space for a humbucker or P90?
My thoughts on this are, have a look under the scratch plate first, because it depends what Strat you've got, but they might have what is called a swimming pool route, which is where guitars are, you know, particularly like the Mexican guitars, but also I think some of the cheaper American guitars are routed, so they've got a big swimming pool route down the centre that you can drop either humbuckers or single coils into. So yeah, depending on your Strat, it might have a swimming pool route, in which case all you need to do is buy a new scratch plate. If it isn't, then I don't think it really harms the value of a guitar. Like,
I suppose,
unless it's like,
if it's done right, you can't see it. So no,
well,
one,
I mean,
no, unless they took the scratch plate off.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I guess it kind of depends on how honest you are when it comes to selling it.
Yeah.
I suppose the only thing I would say is that it does potentially affect it tonally a little bit. Just taking a little bit of that weight off can make it sound a bit bright.
In a Strat or a Tele, I don't think so. I think maybe more so in a Les Paul, but even then, like, you got to think about the amount of body that you'd be taking away is so negligible in comparison to the rest of the guitar.
I think it depends what you're routing for. If you were to go and route a swimming pool route, that would probably be a bad thing.
Yeah,
because I think those guitars do sound a little bit different. You almost get like a hollow body guitar feel because the scratch plate is covering up that.
But is that because you're used to playing those guitars in a shop environment where you can hear that, or at home where you've got that sort of sense of space and you've got that slight acoustic reverberation,
as opposed
to if you're playing it live? I don't think you'd hear, especially because of where the routing is. You know, I think that having it in that position, so in the middle of the guitar where there's not a huge amount of tonality coming from, you know, it's not like you're taking away a huge amount of mass by the bridge, which I think does play a huge part in the sound of the guitar.
Yeah,
in that position there, it's sort of in the middle. I don't think it's going to make a huge amount of odds.
Matt, have you got someone having an argument in your house?
No, that's unfortunately in my garden.
Oh, nice, nice. Anyway, so with that, what did we decide on that? Do we think to gouge or not to gouge?
I mean, I would say...
Take the plate off first and check whether
someone's
already
also,
done it.
Well, yeah, but also it kind of depends on what guitar it is. You know, if it's... I would say that if you've got a 1956 Strat, probably don't try and put a humbucker in there.
If you've got a Mexican standard Strat,
don't worry about
go
it.
Go with it.
It'll be fine.
Yeah. Totally. Anyway, with that, we're well over our usual hour. Thanks for joining us, if you have done, on the Amplify stream. If you've enjoyed the show, there is the option there to leave a dollar tip. It helps us out a whole bunch. Like I said, we're going to try and keep improving this show every week. We're going to try and bring on guests, try and bring on some like visual stuff for when we are talking about things. Hopefully we can start bringing up pictures of the gear that we're talking about, or actually have it with us. You know, if we've got something here down the line, eventually maybe we could throw in some guitar playing. I don't know. That's a long way off. It's a long way off. Not yet.
Do people come here to listen to
maybe
guitar
not,
playing?
But maybe we could do like a separate stream
where my dulcet tones.
Yeah, maybe we could do a separate stream where we, you know, play some guitar afterwards or something. But so if you've enjoyed the show, all the tips will help us do some cool things with this, and you know, we want to start going to like live shows and streaming from live shows, you know, live events and things like that. So yeah, anything will help. If you want to hear some more of Guitar Nerd stuff, you can go over to patreon.com/guitar nerds, where from as little as $5 a month you can get an extra half an hour of Guitar Nerds content every week. We do a separate podcast for our Patreon backers. This week we're going to be talking about these guitar some old copies of Total Guitar, and talking about what was cool and what was new in 2004. From as little as $10 a month, you can become one of our executive producers and have your name read out on the show like these people have. Oh, are you doing the beat this time?
I'll do the beat.
Okay, and I'll read the names.
Yeah.
Okay, go. Andrew, Marco, Brad, Paige, Mark, Cross, Mark, Bryce, Rob, Pierce, JD Short, David Carroll, Andy McKenzie, Eric Seary, Paul Corrigan, Jack, Godfrey, Jack, Conroy, Will, Claire, Scott O'Brien, Matt Quine, Fletch Fletcher, Phil Thompson, Laurie Anstis, Moog Grabbit, Colin Anderson. There we go. Hope you enjoyed that, everyone. Definitely, whatever you thought of that, leave it in the YouTube comments if you're watching this on the catch-up, because I hear that's the friendliest place on the internet for...
people are really friendly in YouTube comments.
Especially sort of nerdy sort of white fellas doing bad raps of people's names. I hear that goes down well in YouTube comments. So,
did you see that Harry Kane one?
No.
Oh, man.
We'll talk about that in the Patreon.
Okay, right, sorry.
So there was a few guys in the Amplify chat asking for where they can find out more. Facebook.com
How long have we been doing this?
I know, this is episode 59? No, it's more than that. I don't know.
59, dude.
Something like that. Facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. You can join our other forum regulars and chat about things that we've talked about in the show and share pictures of your gear and ask them questions, and we'll be in there occasionally chatting along. And sometimes we do videos through Facebook Live videos, so more live stuff for you to watch. You can also join us on Twitter at Guitar Nerds, Instagram, where Matt is putting up loads of pretty pictures of stuff at Guitar Nerds. You can go to YouTube, youtube.com/guitar nerds videos. If you're watching this on YouTube, remember to like and subscribe to the channel. And you can follow us individually. I'm at @mark_random on Twitter. Jay is at @jaybn1, and Matt is at @matt_nightsea.
We haven't mentioned Joe at all this
Joe
week.
Branton is hosting the show next week.
Well,
so
maybe I'll
it's
do it.
Best if we don't mention him now.
Okay.
And
don't want anyone
turning. Yeah, right, the people will probably turn off within the 5-10 minutes. But you know, at least they will have clicked.
Yeah, of course.
So Joe Branton next week. If you're going to watch one episode of Guitar Nerds, depending on what you want out of this, either make it the only one you watch or make it the only one you don't watch next week.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're going to go and record some Patreon stuff. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks.
Cheers,
gang.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.